Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is the place where we take that mountain of source material, all the articles, the research, the technical reports, and we boil it all down into what you really need to know. Today, we're digging into something that should honestly be required reading for, well, for everyone. We're talking about the huge growing problem with supply chain security failures.
And we have a perfect, if painful, case study, the recent data exposure at Nissan.
Right. It shows so clearly that it doesn't matter how much you spend on your own security, your entire defense can be, you know, wiped out by the weakest link in your chain of partners.
That's it. Exactly. Our mission for you today is to get past the headlines and really dissect how a cyber attack on a third-party vendor, in this case a huge company, Red Hat, can just completely bypass the security of a global giant like Nissan.
So the whole idea of a secure perimeter is it's just gone.
It's gone. The attack surface now includes every single partner, every developer, every contractor you work with.
Okay, let's unpack this then, because the numbers here are pretty stark. We're looking at around 21,000 Nissan customers in Japan. Their personal details, just out there.
And the key point, the one that should keep CEOs up at night, is this wasn't a failure of Nissan's own servers.
No. This happened because of a breach at a key technology partner at Red Hat. The very trust in that relationship became the vulnerability.
So let's jump right into the anatomy of this thing. Nissan confirmed the exposure, and it was specifically tied to customers of Nissan Fukuoka sales. The breach itself happened back in September 2024.
And it's so important to understand who this vendor is. Red Hat isn't some small shop.
Not at all.
They're a major U.S. enterprise software company. They build systems for huge corporations. Nissan hired them to develop customer management systems for their sales operations.
So Red Hat was handling some really sensitive personal data, stuff you need to sell and service a car.
Exactly. So the criminals didn't even try to smash through Nissan's front door.
They just found a side door that a trusted partner left unlocked. Precisely. And this is the strategy we're seeing more and more. Why attack the fortress when you can go after the contractor who has the keys? The attack itself compromised data across just a staggering number of repositories.
How many?
28,000. 28,000 private GitLab repositories that belong to Red Hat.
Wow. Okay, so for anyone listening who isn't deep in developer speak, what does that mean? Why is a GitLab repository like a digital treasure chest?
Think of it like the main workshop where developers build everything. It's not just the final code. It has, you know, the source code, but also configuration files, credentials for testing.
And sometimes real customer data for that testing.
That's the critical part. So if you get into 28,000 of those, you haven't just stolen some code. You've stolen the keys to the kingdom for maybe dozens of their clients.
And we actually know who did this, which gives us a window into their motives.
We do. The first group, known as Crimson Collective, claimed they did the initial break-in. They said they stole hundreds of gigabytes of information. But then it got worse. Shiny Hunters got involved. They are one of the most aggressive extortion groups out there. They don't just sell the data quietly. They post samples of it online.
To maximize the pressure.
To maximize pressure on both Red Hat and Nissan. It's a clear shift from just theft to public extortion.
So cyber criminals have figured out that hitting one big tech provider is the most efficient way to do this.
It's the ultimate business model for them. You compromise one vendor like Red Hat, and you get this massive return on investment. You get access to all their downstream clients at once.
Okay, so we have the who, the when, and the how. Now, for the question that really matters to everyone affected, what do the criminals actually get? This is where it goes from a tech problem to a very personal danger.
For those 21,000 customers in Fukuoka, the data was incredibly detailed.
It included full names, of course, physical addresses, which, I mean, that opens the door to identity theft, even physical scams, and phone numbers.
And phone numbers are the key to phishing, or voice phishing. That's where they call you. Spoofing the caller ID, pretending to be your bank, or in this case, Nissan.
And they sound legitimate because they have all your details.
Completely legitimate. Then, of course, you have the email addresses.
Which means phishing attacks, obviously, but also something else, right? Credential stuffing.
Exactly. They take those emails, combine them with passwords stolen from other breaches, because we all know people reuse passwords, and they just try them everywhere. Banking, retail, you name it.
But the most dangerous piece of data, I think, was the customer sales data. What exactly is that?
That's the really scary stuff. It's your service history, what kind of car you like, records of your conversations with the dealer. It's everything that allows a criminal to craft a perfect, convincing scam.
So someone could call you up knowing the exact make, model, and last service date of your car.
And that person is going to be 1,000 times more believable than some generic spam email. It's personalized fraud, but at a massive scale.
Right. So even though Nissan was quick to say that, you know, direct financial info like credit card numbers was not part of the leak,
it almost doesn't matter.
The risk is still incredibly high.
Yeah.
They didn't get your money directly. They got the blueprints to trick you into giving it to them later.
Precisely. They got the complete ingredient list for fraud. All right. And if we zoom out a bit, you see, this Red Hat breach isn't some isolated event for Nissan. It's really part of a much larger chronic problem they're facing globally.
Yeah, they've been under constant pressure. If you look at their recent history, it's, well, it's not great.
It's a worrying pattern.
Just before this, in August 2024, Nissan's own design subsidiary, Creative Box, got hit by a ransomware attack from a group called Quillen.
A completely separate incident. And then you look at the geography. In 2023, Nissan North America had a breach. That one exposed the data of 53,000 employees.
And employee data can be even worse, right? You can give attackers network credentials.
It's a foothold for much bigger attacks down the line. And it doesn't stop there. Also in 2023, down in Oceania, the Acura ransomware group hit them.
How many customers there?
Around 100,000 across Australia and New Zealand.
So within about a year, you have direct ransomware, an employee data breach, and now this massive third-party vendor breach. What's the common thread here?
It's the data, the sheer volume of it. The auto industry collects a staggering amount of information on you throughout the entire life of your car. Sales, financing, service.
And now all the data from the connected cars themselves.
Right. And they keep it all forever in all these different systems around the world, managed by different teams, different vendors. That complexity, I mean, it just multiplies the chances for failure. If one vendor is weak, the whole global structure is at risk.
Which brings us right back to the central issue here, the one the Red Hat breach really exposed.
Yeah.
Managing risk when you're working with all these outside vendors.
It's a perfect example of what we call data inertia, where companies build these massive customer profiles over years and years. Then they have to share that data with vendors like Red Hat to, say, build a new piece of software.
And every time that data moves, you're basically handing over the keys and just trusting them.
You're trusting their security controls implicitly. And in this case, the weak spot was those GitLab repositories. It wasn't the final polished system that failed.
It was the developer's workshop.
Exactly. Which raises a huge question. Why do attackers keep finding their way into these development environments?
Because they're not as locked down as the public-facing stuff.
That's the operational reality. They often lack the same level of security, the constant monitoring you'd put on a production database. Developers might hard-code a password just for a quick test or use a huge chunk of real, unscrubbed customer data.
Without thinking that repository is now a giant, glowing target.
And the criminals know this. They know that if they can get into a developer's environment, they'll find source code, configuration files, and maybe the authentication tokens they need to just walk right into the production systems.
So really, what this all means is that your internal security can be perfect, but if your software vendor is sloppy with their development environment, the whole thing just collapses.
You have to move from just trusting your vendors to constantly verifying them.
Okay, that's the perfect pivot to actionable steps. What can you do? Whether you're an individual worried about this kind of breach or a company trying to avoid being the next headline.
Let's start with individual protection. If you were one of those Nissan customers, you have to be vigilant.
Monitor your financial accounts for anything weird. Yeah. New loan applications, new credit cards, anything.
And be so, so skeptical of any communication you get about your car or your service history. Assume every unsolicited email, text, or phone call is a sophisticated scam.
Don't click the link. Don't call the number they give you.
Never. Look up Nissan's official contact information yourself and start there.
And the basics, of course. Consider a credit freeze. And please, update your passwords, especially for any account tied to that leaked email address. Use multi-factor authentication everywhere.
And here's the thing people forget. You need to stay vigilant for a long, long time. Criminals often wait maybe 12, even 24 months after a breach before they use the data.
All right, long after the news cycle has moved on. Okay, now for the organizations. How do companies avoid this?
Mm.
What are the real critical steps?
It has to start before you even sign a contract. You need deep, comprehensive security assessments of any potential vendor. And not just a checklist. You need to review their actual security architecture.
Including their development environments.
Especially their development environments. And then it has to be continuous. You can't just audit them once. You need ongoing monitoring, penetration testing. Your contract needs to spell out breach notification times and, frankly, penalties for failure.
And just sharing less data in the first place seems like a good idea.
It's the best idea. It's called data minimization. Only share the absolute minimum data a vendor needs to do their job. Did Red Hat really need the real names and addresses of 21,000 customers for a development project? Probably not.
And
finally, you have to move to a zero-trust architecture. It's a philosophy, really. It means you verify every single access request every time, no matter if it's internal or from a trusted third party. In today's world, trust is a liability. Verification is survival.
And that brings us to the end of this deep dive.
Yeah.
I think the key lesson is that protecting your data now means you have to constantly, and I mean intrusively, audit the security of every single partner you work with.
You can't outsource the risk. All you can do is share the liability after the damage is done.
And this breach just shines a huge spotlight on the new strategy from criminals.
It does. They're going after the soft underbelly of the supply chain. They're going after the development repositories, the staging environments, because that's where the data is, and it's often the least protected.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you to mull over. If a massive global company like Nissan, with all of its resources, can't protect its customer data from third-party risk, a failure that basically handed over 21,000 identity profiles to criminals, how prepared are most organizations today?
How prepared are you to manage the vulnerabilities created by your own tech vendors? If you haven't looked at their development security lately, you might want to.
Something to think about. We'll see you on the next deep dive.